Hey, listeners, welcome to Everyday Badass. My name is Megan Lahan, and I'm so excited to have you join us and listen to another one of our incredible guests. So let's meet someone interesting. Me when you're ready. Okay. Welcome, listeners, to another episode of Everyday Badass. And I'm excited. We have a couple today. We have two guests, and this is Megan and Ryan Doan. And I was put in contact with them through a mutual friend, Katie, who you guys haven't met yet, but you've also met and heard from Temple. For those of you who listened to the episode with Temple Hitt, who is the founder and owner of Grace Green Beauty, and has really kind of exploded into this whole market and all this other cool stuff. And so Megan and Ryan know Temple, and we have a mutual friend. So Megan and Ryan are here to talk about this really cool business I'm excited to get into called Fresh Tomorrow, which is located in Morrow, Ohio, and which is a farm-to-table cafe. And you guys make everything, and I'm so excited to get into all the stuff and learn about it. So welcome, Megan and Ryan.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yes, absolutely. So before we get into all the stuff with the cafe and the farm, and I would love for you at some point to touch on Urban Greens, because that came before Fresh Tomorrow, right? Okay. But why don't you just give the listeners just a little info about the two of you? You know, are you guys from Ohio? How you met, and just, you know, what your jobs were before you started going down this path?
You want me to start?
He's giving Megan the head nod. Okay. Megan's first.
Yes. Born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
Went to Amelia. Went to college at Thomas More.
Yeah.
Then went to college, or got my master's at UC.
Okay.
And so,
what were you going to college for? What was your degree, and what were you going to get your master's in?
So my background is I'm a medical laboratory scientist.
Yeah.
And I've got a master's in blood transfusion medicine. So blood is my passion.
Well, that's a first. We've never had anybody say that. I love that. Blood is my passion. It's weird.
It ties into some of the stuff we do, though.
I'm sure. Yes.
In immunology. So that's kind of my background. So we'll talk about how that ties in. But yeah, Ryan and I met along the way while I was getting my master's. We met, and what was that, 2008? Because we got
married
in 2009.
Look at this. There's like a test. Yes. See who remembers the important dates, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we pause there? Why don't you tell us then, for you, what was your background before you met Megan, and kind of then we'll go from when the two of you got together.
Okay. Yeah. I think the pertinent information is I grew up in the country outside of Oxford, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And I grew up, I went to Talwanda and worked for farmers all growing up, baling hay, cleaning out stalls, helping out in the family garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to Miami University, got a finance degree. Traveled around, went to Chicago, Charlotte, worked for a Fortune 500 and just doing analytics. And then kind of worked my way up the chain, came back home, around 2006 and, worked for some local banks, private equity firms, got into higher level analytics and did like, crafted deals and things like that. But yeah, along the way, I started doing a little research about our food system and some of the problems therein, and started reading books and YouTube and all the stuff, and going down these, research paths that led me to really want to detach myself from the whole thing. Wanted to start growing my own food and sustaining myself, and started basically looking for a way out of like spreadsheet world.
Yeah.
Which
is a lot. I mean, you're spending the entire day in that position that you were in, and analytics and all of that, just constantly in reports and Excel and analyzing information and all of that, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I didn't want to do it. And in fact, like the last guys I worked for were, you know, just like already millionaires, and they were working 70 hours a week and trying to get the same out of me. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know, I could obviously see like that, that'll never end. If you get into that and all you're into is making money, there'll never be enough money in the whole world.
The hours to put in to make the money and to sustain it and keep it going at that level, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's just not me. You know, I grew up shopping at Goodwill and growing a garden with my mom and running around the woods. And, you know, that was the life that I'm used to. I can live on very little money. I can basically camp 365 days a year and be perfectly happy. So yeah, the setup I got now with her is sweet. I mean, you know, like she's got an awesome job. We have this sweet homestead in Morrow. We have land. We have, I have a tractor. A greenhouse, you know, so it's like, we've come a long way in our journey from when I first decided to detach myself to like now we're able to sustain ourselves through this living that we have. So
love it. So then now let's go to when you guys meet. Okay. So then you meet and were you working in analytics at the time? You hadn't gotten to the point of saying, I want to detach myself from that career path and lifestyle, right? When you guys met?
Yeah, I was still quasi-normal at that time. I wore like a suit to work.
You seem normal to me. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. That's what I think. But, you know, I wore a suit to work. In fact, the night I met her was pretty much like a happy hour. And I met her at the bar in my suit. And she really didn't have a chance. I mean, it was like, she didn't have a chance. So, but yeah, we were still doing that. And then actually, like, you know, we kind of moved in together and she got her master's. And so it kind of took a little step back, was able to help her get through school. And then after she got her master's, got a nice job. And, and then it wasn't until we worked together for a few years, saving up as much money as we could, you know, then we made the move. And even then it was gradual. Like I would cut my hours in corporate a little bit at a time each year as I built the business. So I kind of had this little, you know, baby off to the side.
Right.
And then it wasn't until it was big enough that it could sustain us that I finally said, okay, you know, I'm not going to go back.
Yeah. So. Smart. Totally smart. I mean, doing it a little bit at a time and making sure instead of just leaping in and hoping, you know, because hope isn't a strategy. So how did you feel about all of this?
Yeah. So we joke that I married a banker.
Right.
Somehow he turned into a farmer.
Yeah. That is a detour. Yeah.
But it was a nice, to be honest, transition. And yeah, so once we got married and we were in Mount Washington, he really took this step. I don't know what came first, but we started wanting to eat healthier and go organic. We knew some things already. And he wanted to be part of the community council. So we went to the Mount Washington Community Council and he wanted to start a community garden. And I was all for that.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with a garden as well. And like I said, we were already starting to get into that healthy lifestyle, and we're like, what are we going to do with our lives? Because he was already talking about like, I don't want to do spreadsheets for the rest of my life. I'm transitioning from working in a lab at Good Sam Hospital. Moving to this new job where it's for ImmuCore. It's a company that sells laboratory equipment, blood bank equipment.
Yeah.
And so I do the technical training and because I talk the talk and have that blood bank background.
Right.
So I'm transitioning to that. And he's like, let's start a community garden. And we went to the Mount Washington Community Council and asked if anybody else wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And then he was looking around for land. He's like, is anybody in Mount Washington have land that we could grow on? Because we couldn't grow on our own land.
Right.
So that kind of segued into the city was able to give us land.
Oh,
and
that's
Ryan
awesome.
Went to the Civic Garden Center to learn how to do a community garden.
Yeah.
And so I'll let him talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my path was, just like she said, we were looking around for land. I was now serving as the treasurer of the community council in Mount Washington. So I had a little bit of cred. And,
you had some street cred.
Yeah, I mean,
you were making a name.
The Civic Garden Center director and the city was, there's somebody who's already involved in the community looking for land.
Yeah.
So it just so happened in this neighborhood called the East End down by the river, they had a lot of land that had been houses during the big flood in the 90s. Mm. But when the flood came in, the houses got knocked down. So these plots were just being mowed for years.
Wow.
So when I took a training class at the Civic Garden Center, that kind of opened up some doors. They required me to take the training class first. But once I did, then they said, well, we have plenty of land in the East End. Would you like some of this land? So that basically started what was first a community garden. And then after the first year, I said, I'm just going to run it like a for-profit small business. Mm-hmm. So we had like a veggie co-op for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And we eventually had, we built to where I bought the house adjacent to the garden, mm-hmm. and I had my workers live there. We took over a whole nother plot down there. So we were up to like an acre.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a really nice thing. We had nice stability for like the last 5 years where the job was good, the mm-hmm. wages were good. Everyone that was kind of associated with it, the customers were happy.
Mm-hmm. About how many customers did you guys have at that time?
So we started with like 15.
Sure.
Like 15 would come every week and get a bag of vegetables.
You gotta start somewhere. Yeah.
And then we ended somewhere around 80 a week.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
with
huge.
Like two workers. So, we felt really proud about that. That was just like, we put in 10 years of community work, literally in the hood. Mm-hmm. We had like a cookhouse on one side of the garden and the pickup house on the other side for the drug dealers. It was rough, but we were the little garden that I think sparked a change. Mm-hmm. And then Eli's Barbecue came in then the hipsters moved in and started painting the houses and slowly started to change that area. Started to change. And by the end, it was a hip place right close to downtown, affordable housing. And, but we had saved up our money and we always wanted to get out and get a little more elbow room, because as much as I love the city and all that's going on down there, I'm a country boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
you want to be able to go there. You don't want to be able to live there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
So we made our move to Morrow in 2018.
Okay.
And we found this little gym. It is a former Camp Kern counselor's house.
Yeah.
That he convinced them to spin off an acre and a half like 30 years ago. But all around our house is fields and forests. It's literally like a state park, but we're like these one or two houses at the edge.
How cool.
And we have one of them. So there's already trails from our back porch through the woods, through miles and miles of woods to get to Camp Kern, which is a Christian kids camp.
Uh-huh. I went there.
And then we're leasing we're leasing one of their hay fields to do our vegetables on.
How amazing. Oh, yay. So when did Urban Greens come into play? Was that when during the community garden?
That was the once we went from community garden to a for-profit business, that was called Urban Greens.
Got it.
And that, like I said,
that was the produce bags and the different things that you would do. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was Ryan using his business.
Well, I was just going to say, acumen. Right. I mean, this is something that, you kind of paid your dues in the career that wasn't necessarily fulfilling you, from a probably an emotional, spiritual kind of aspect. But, what a groundwork and base for you and knowledge to then be able to know how to run a successful business financially, speaking. Because so many people, and I see this often with small business owners and even vendors I partner with, is you have the passion and you have the love for what you're doing. And so many of them are out doing the work and then don't know how to run the back end part of it, mm-hmm. which is what you need in order to sustain yourself, mm-hmm. to keep, this engine moving of what you love. So, what a gift for you to be able to have that and be able to partner in that way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes,
that's one thing that I tried to think I left a little bit of a legacy down in Cincinnati was working with other small community gardens and helping them to become more financially sustainable.
Yes.
I also worked with the city on literally changing the code, the zoning code. Mm-hmm. So because Like when I first started, technically almost everything we did was illegal. Mm-hmm. We had compost piles. That was against zoning. We yep. sold produce on city land. That was against zoning. That mm-hmm. was literally not allowed. Mm-hmm. You know, so I had to work with the city of Cincinnati and say, look, if you like this kind of thing and you think that one of these gardens should be in every neighborhood, you need to make it literally legal, first yeah. of all. And then second of all, maybe facilitate that. Maybe have a few grants, you know, because if mm-hmm. I'm saving you money from having to mow this grass, why not go ahead and give it back and maybe try to cover my water bill every right. year or something like that.
Right.
You know, I'm not
some sort of
for,
incentive, yeah, you know, to help something. People want to keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there it is. We did run it as a for profit business, but you know, there wasn't all that much profit,
right?
You know,
yeah,
we felt like we were doing a tremendous service to the community, mm-hmm. and we love to serve. Megan and I are both servants,
yep.
You know, we take that Christian ethic and we apply it to all aspects of our lives. Mm-hmm. So, our friends, it's like a competition who can give each other more,
yeah,
you know, and yeah. we're always trying to win that game,
yeah,
you know. So.
Well, at least you're surrounding yourselves with all those people who do that, you know, the mm-hmm. givers. When you're a giver and you're surrounding yourself with givers, it's a incredible thing.
Oh, so. It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. So when did you actually make the switch and quit your job and say, I'm just going to do this full time? When was that, when you were still doing the community garden, or was when it you guys moved to Morrow?
So I was about 5 years in and I quit Hard Stop. But then we like ran into some financial troubles, not troubles, but just like things got a little tight.
Sure.
So I would do, there was a time period for about 4 or 5 years where I would go back in just the winter
uh-huh.
when farming is slow, and I would do some just like consulting work.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's when we were still urban greens. So we're yeah. still in the cities.
Yep.
So kind of, again, that transition.
Right.
Like, we're starting to creep up, but it wasn't until we moved up tomorrow.
Yeah. The last one, the last consult I did was at a steel business. I, like I said, was having troubles
mm-hmm.
and I was the controller.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the end, there was a state that seized the bank accounts because he was backed up on taxes.
Mm.
And he also had some personal problems.
Mm-hmm.
He was addicted to a number of things. Mm-hmm. But I saw a core business there where the workers were the best in the industry. We had positive profit margins. It's just that after the money got into the account, he spent it all personally.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I made an offer to him. I said, the business, I'm going to buy these assets, mainly just these employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to change the name slightly so really the customers don't even know. But now you work for me mm-hmm. and you're not on the bank account and mm-hmm. you're going to clean up. You're going to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that all he agreed upon. And so since that happened, the business has really just taken off.
Wonderful.
And I
what a blessing.
Lucky to be the owner of that, because yeah. I don't really do any of the work. We just funded it, and now I use my accounting and banking mm-hmm. background to make sure that we are always in a good financial setting
mm-hmm.
and just allow 40 to 45, you know, adults to have good paying jobs, construction jobs.
Love it.
These are some of the highest non-union work around. We mm-hmm. pay $25 to $40 an hour for yeah. non-union work.
That's incredible.
And these guys work all year round.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some guys that send tens and $20,000 back to Mexico every
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And
take care of their family.
Do you know how many people that can take care of in Mexico?
I don't know the number, but
dozens.
I'm sure it's astounding. Yeah.
I mean, like, mm-hmm. I was told that a good paying job in Mexico is like $200 a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just feels really good what we're doing. We're helping people just make a good living.
Yeah.
And, you know, our principle is to do that. We build businesses where, you know, we can be proud of the product. And the primary product is these are jobs for mm-hmm. people. You know, we work incredibly hard also in mm-hmm. all these businesses, in the cafe and in the fields,
mm-hmm.
you know, but ultimately I don't get paid until everything else clears.
Yep.
All the checks clear. No vendors can say I owe them any mm-hmm. money. We got plenty of cushion in the bank. And mm-hmm. then we go ahead and take a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's something we're very proud of. We love that.
Yeah. You should be.
Yeah. And it's really been the last couple years that we've gotten to that point. And so this position that we're in allows us to now focus more on the cafe
yeah.
and the garden. And it's just wonderful to walk outside our door and our farm and our garden is right there.
Yes.
And then we found such a great little community in Morrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been blessed there too. I don't know if we want to start talking about that.
Transitioning. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, let's go into that about, you know, how fresh Tomorrow became and, you know, when you guys settled in your home and had this garden and how you found that space and just, you know, the business plan and what your vision was and just all of that.
Mm. Yeah. So we wanted to start off fresh. We wanted to, you know, Urban Greens was great.
Uh-huh. Like,
we have so many good memories in the city, and I will always have that as part of our legacy.
That's part of your story that brought you here. Yeah.
It is. But we wanted a new thing, and
We weren't urban anymore.
Right.
We were still using the Urban Greens name for a little bit. We were at the Lebanon's Farmer's Market. We were at the Morrow Farmer Market before we really started to get our own brick and mortar, and we're like, we really need to change our name.
Yeah,
but what a good way you were starting to lay a foundation for getting customers and a customer base up in that area versus where you were,
right?
Yeah, and actually, it came about, thinking back on it, there was an opportunity in the Morrow Arts Center, which is really cool if you guys don't know about it. There's an old elementary school in Morrow that they converted into basically like a small business mall.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had one of the rooms on the bottom floor. It became available. And the owner of the building came to us and said, hey, you mentioned you might be interested. Well, one just came available. Do you want it?
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, sure. So we literally knew that, like, we were moving into this place. We needed a name. We needed a logo. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we've been meaning to change this for a while. Let's do it now. Because, like, we're not putting Urban Greens up on this new store.
Right. Makes sense.
This was our first store. We were, like, so happy. Like, every time before, we were always handing bags out of, like, sheds and lean-tos and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, in the corner of, you know, streets under a tent. You know, just, like, slapping stuff together in the city. But now we're like, oh, we can do this proper.
Yeah.
So her and I sat down on the couch, and we just started writing out words that were meaningful to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to be succinct and efficient with, like, the name. We didn't want to draw it out. Mm-hmm. We were like, how do we communicate all this stuff in just, like, a handful of words?
Yeah.
And that what we decided was fresh to Morrow, because that communicates that we got fresh vegetables and we are focusing our efforts in Morrow, Ohio.
Yes.
Local, you know, we're just trying to really just do that. I'm not trying to be in Cincinnati and Fairfield and Hamilton. I'm in Morrow.
Uh-huh.
And
these are where your roots are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of people there that will keep us busy for many years.
Yep.
You know, so we just hashed it out on the couch, and I think that's why the name is clever, because Megan and I, like, that was when we first decided to, like, you know, because Urban Greens a bit was like, she's always had the full-time job. So she always came down the community garden and helped a little bit, but it was always my thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we sat down on the couch, and I, you know, we just said, like, let's be true partners. This mm-hmm. is our business. Mm-hmm. No one else matters. Just me and you.
Yeah.
Let's start this true. So we had to decide what we wanted together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was our first little project, is coming up with the name together.
Yeah.
We had the space in the Morrow Arts Center. And while we were there, a woman who rented one of the rooms just for storage, and she was basically a landlord mm-hmm. down in that area, said, well, we have this space behind our furniture store, and we're finishing out as a commercial kitchen. And it was just going to be a little bit more per month in rent. And I said, okay.
Yeah.
So within a year, we moved from the Morrow Arts Center, had our own cafe, like brick and mortar, like fully licensed, inspected kitchen, patio, parking for our customers, a bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, like a dining
room.
The
real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and so we felt like, yes, it was fast to move that soon, but, you know, this was always our dream.
I mean, our dream was to use the food however we could. And
mm-hmm.
so, it started by just giving the food away. And we realized, oh my gosh, there's some waste. What else can we do with this food?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we started preserving.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, you're growing all of this, and obviously you're giving it away to the paying customers, but
right.
What do you do with the surplus of stuff that people aren't purchasing?
Or the ugly stuff.
Or the ugly stuff.
Right.
Not so pretty.
Right.
You know, I don't put it in the bag, but it's still perfectly edible.
Right.
You know, and that's like, Just as a side branch, like one of the my research things that I came across was the amount of food waste in this country. And it's really like astronomical. Like if you think about calories grown in the field that actually reach a mouth, and it's only something like 20 to 25%.
Wow.
We talk about the waste that they chuck it in the field because it's not pretty enough. And then it's wasted on the trucks. You know, so there's all these steps, and then half of it, even if it does reach the refrigerator, because it's so old, half of it goes bad if it even reaches a refrigerator.
Right.
So what we're trying to do with the word fresh and that idea is let's have a distribution system to where we time up the delivery to the customer, you know, a day or two after we pick it. So you are getting something that is at its maximum freshness with all those free electrons and vitamins
and nutrition
minerals.
Benefits.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
And so people start to feel that when you start eating True Fresh, not just the name slapped on a corporate logo, but I'm talking like they just picked it.
Right.
Because it's truly local. People feel that. They feel the difference. When you start to feel fuller with less food. Okay. So your body changes. You start to have good bowel movements, you feel full of energy. So our customers are—
Mental clarity, I'm sure, is a huge part of it.
Very much. Very much. So that's like we've built our whole business around that. And so back to the waste thing, we wanted to always finish that circle. Like we have this ugly turnip. Why don't we chop around the bad spot and chop it up and put it on a dish? Because, you know, for years I would always sell my beautiful produce to restaurants and then watch them make all the money. It's hard to do.
Right. You know, I get that.
And so I was like, we always dreamed of being able to be, you know, a small farm and a small cafe, but within our little system,
maximize
as much as possible. Everything.
Yeah.
So there's no waste in the whole system. And if we're able to do that, then the wages can come up. And that's, again, back to, that's really all I care about. My research in this area, and I went to some of the best farmers that I could find who grew the best food and had the best looking farms around. And I would ask them, you know, how much money do you make? You know, and they would tell me, they knew my background. So they'd let me look at their taxes and things and just like get an honest assessment. The best I could find in this whole area, the whole region, makes somewhere around $9 or $10 an hour. I'm talking wizards.
Yeah.
So to me, that is... lets me feel not so secure about our food system. There is a aging population of people who know how to grow real food. I'm not talking corn and soy. I'm talking real food.
Yep.
And their farms are worth millions. Their workers make $10-$11 an hour. Their workers make more than the owners make.
That's crazy.
And these people are doing this out of a passion. Okay, well, what happens when they retire? What happens when they die? What's going to happen to our food system? So, you know, we're not alarmists. We're just realists. And again, I'm a businessman. I look for opportunity.
Right.
So where some people would see a crisis, I see it as an opportunity.
Right.
You know?
To change something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, that's how we're approaching this thing is just steady work. We don't, you know, we're not nothing crazy. We don't. You know, work 80 hours a week. We don't.
Yeah.
We try to work smart. You know, and that's always the goal, though, is to try to have no waste and make sure that no one can say we owe them any money.
You know, it's interesting. There's a, I think I'm going to botch the name, but there's something, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there is a program, I think it's like Misfit something with the fruit and vegetables where they do what you were talking about, but the food that's just not pretty, right? That's not going to go. I remember seeing that. And I'm like, gosh, I love that somebody capitalized on that because at least it's an opportunity to get other food to somebody's door that isn't going to be in the store or what have you, that somebody doesn't necessarily care about the way that it looks, but the food is fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually a term. So have you ever heard the word gleaning? G-L-E-A-N?
I mean, yes, the term, yeah.
Okay, so that is an old term that means when the farmers would go through their fields and take the stuff that they wanted, they threw the seconds down on the ground. So the gleaners would come through and basically take the scraps and go feed their families. This was typically your four your poor peasants.
Yeah.
And kind of like some of the servants and stuff. But it's an idea that I think is a powerful one.
Yeah.
It's like, this food is still perfectly edible and I'm not too proud to just bend over and pick it up.
Right.
You
right.
know?
And you have mouths to feed.
Yeah.
So...
And
there's
now it's
no shame
trendy.
In that.
Now it's trendy.
It is.
Right.
Which is fine because I think more and more people are starting to get it.
Like, and be more aware of
yeah,
that.
I don't want this conventional food at the grocery store. I don't mind if it's a little ugly. I, you know, who cares? As long as it tastes good, as long as it has nutritional value.
Right.
And they feel like they're really helping to contribute as well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what our customers are doing too. They feel like they are supporting local. They are getting
good.
To support their family and feed their family well.
Mm-hmm.
So it just keeps getting passed on all this goodness.
Yeah. So then when you guys started partnering together with saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. It's not just going to be, you know, your side of the business and you're working. So how does that work for your schedule? Like with work, are you still working full time or do you work?
I do work full time.
Yeah.
I travel about 50% of the time, and then I work from home 50% of the time.
Okay.
It's also a little bit of a joke because I'm like, I am working from home. I need to still do my job full time.
Yeah.
But I am able to help process food.
Yeah, that's great. Find the balance and being able to still be a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And work in the cafe. Even we were at the Morrow Arts Center, I would go down on Saturday mornings and stock the shelves. And at that point, we weren't cooking the food, but we were selling the bags of fresh food.
Mm-hmm.
And we also mentioned preserving some of the food. So we ended up doing a lot of that, learning throughout the years, like, okay, what else can we do to preserve the ugly food if we can't give it away? And so working on that on Saturday mornings, working on preserving the food throughout the week. We have what's called dehydrators and we're able to dehydrate some of the kale and the collards and the greens that, you know, you can only eat so many fresh leafy greens, only so many smoothies and stir fries.
Yeah.
Again, don't want to waste that. So we put it in the dehydrators, we powderize it, and we put it into a mix that we call super greens powder.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a lot of that. Like, and I can do that in the evenings, and I like doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually started to get me into, we were growing more herbs, more flowers, and then I started learning more about the medicinal value of some of these and the nutritional value of some of these herbs and these plants. And, you know, throughout the years, these 13 years, we've just continued to educate ourselves on the food and how it can heal our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I really took that and started to run with it. So again, it is all about God's timing. When we sat down on that couch and we started that partnership, it wasn't too long after that I'm like, okay, what else can we do with this food?
Yeah.
What else? And that led me down to this lane of learning about herbs. And I started picking up like the beginner book for medicinal herbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Rosemary Gladstar. Amazing book. And so Ryan's already growing most of that stuff.
Right.
So I'm like, what can I do with it? So we dehydrate it. And then I learn how to make what's called a tincture or a tonic or a tea, you know, those type of things. And so it's still our focus. It's still part of our vision to use what we grow. But not only are we now going to get the nutritional value from the food, we can also do more wellness and healing
benefits.
Yeah, with these tonics and tinctures. We're talking, again, for mental health, for adrenal support.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard, adaptogen seems to be a hot buzzword right now.
Mm-hmm.
These are just herbs that help relieve stress and give your body energy.
Yeah.
So...
Which, what a beautiful thing, because you think about how many people, especially from a stress perspective, they have no idea what cortisol really does in your body and how much of a negative impact it can have on you. So these are things that you're talking about that can help from a, you know, safe way without having to necessarily take medication and things of that nature that can really help your body internally.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's you can still have the allopathic medicine that's, you know, with the doctors, but you can, what I've learned about food and these herbals are, you can't overdose on them. You can't take too many.
Right.
And they are going to help you. So, of course, you can always consult your doctor, of course. But that's where I started really kind of diving in is on these herbal products.
And I'm sure a lot of what you saw, especially and continue to see in the blood work that you do, is that something that you were seeing previously with people or anything that you were knowledgeable about maybe their food or their lifestyle and the impact it was having on them?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and of course, even just knowing about flus or colds.
Yeah.
Not even talking about COVID, just flus and colds. That's where I know how our body defends itself. So when I started reading about how these herbs are antibacterial, antiviral, I was all over it.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much you can do when you have a virus. But you can take food.
Right.
It will help. It will help alleviate those symptoms.
And from a preventative standpoint,
too. Oh, there's so much preventative.
Yeah.
So it's, it just got me so much more excited.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then let's talk about, so you get your building. So how did we start determining this is going to be a cafe? And how did you figure out how you're going to now start making food? Because that was a new venture, right? Other than just... giving the produce bags and selling these things that you guys were growing, but now you're actually going to have a menu and, you know, do all of that stuff.
Yeah, that's still an evolving thing. I mean, because like her and I eat pretty country. We eat like lots of slow cooker stuff.
Yeah.
Stir fry. You know, it's lots,
a lot of whole foods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of plants. So it's not a, I would say, a diet that people are accustomed with. You know, we have on our plate in any given night mostly vegetables, you know, and meat and starch is like a seasoning. You know, it's off to the side.
Yeah.
So, you know, that philosophy is how we're building our menu. Like, we try to sneak vegetables into everything. For example, we make a mac and cheese. I'll give you some cream and some butter, but you're going to eat some broccoli.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
It's like a give and take.
Yeah. You know? I like it.
So, that's kind of, you know, and like our chili base is our vegetable soup, because I'm like not going to have two different products. So, in your chili, you're going to have little bits of carrot and green beans.
Yeah.
You may not be accustomed to that. Some people are like, well, this is more of a stew. I'm like, no, it's a chili. It's whatever we say it is.
Yeah.
but you know, that's the, kind of the general.
There's lots of different kinds of chili, right?
Exactly.
I mean, yours can have a little bit more vegetable
in
it.
Yeah. And this is our way.
You know,
it's like we have beans and we will add a little bit more, you know, it's got some beef, a little more beans, a little more hot sauce, but it's basically the vegetable soup.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like our big thing that we make every year is like, I think last year it was around 500 quarts.
Wow.
That's what we need to make every year to just get by. And it's a great product because it makes a large portion of the garden like go away, be preserved.
Yeah.
You know, which from a farmer standpoint, when you grow good food, all I really care about is I want to make sure somebody eats it.
Yeah.
I've done this work. And, you know, so
you want somebody to benefit from it.
I want someone to benefit from it. So, like, being able to give these quarts of soup as Christmas presents over the winter and watch people eat it in our cafe and have our friends beg us for it when they come up to the house, you know, it's like, it feels good.
We're doing something right.
Yes.
And everything's getting used.
Yes. You know,
back to my point, like, I'm the one growing it.
Yeah.
And I know that that recipe helps us preserve, which means eventually somebody's going to eat that. And, you know,
I'll say our menu really stemmed, though. We would do a couple farm-to-table events, even when we were Urban Greens, Fresh Tomorrow, before we had a brick and mortar.
So, yeah, you had some experience of doing that.
Yeah, we had them at the farm when we were in the city to show off the farm, show off the city.
Yeah.
And we brought that up with us. So I'd say a lot of the things, that Ryan just mentioned came from some of those farm to table dinners too. So again, it was a way to really fold in everything we were growing. So we took some of those chilies and we have these beef meatballs and stir fries, a lot of stir fry veggies and rice.
Yeah.
So all those are on the menu. And then we also wanted to stay true to our roots. So we do, we don't have animals. But
yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like in your meat dishes, do you just source it from?
We source locally.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Grass-fed, mm-hmm. local, sustainable. We've seen the farms. Mm-hmm. We know those animals are treated well, mm-hmm. and they make really good burgers.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, and it's probably people who have similar philosophies to you that you want to continue to support as well. And, you know, kind of have this marriage of both things that are coming together, which is pretty awesome. So does your menu change, you know, or is it just because this is what you're growing, then you always have this product that's coming? But obviously seasonality, I'm sure, comes into mix. But does it change every couple months? Does it change per season? Or kind of how do you guys determine what your menu is?
Well, it's both. So we have these sort of generic menu items like the Power Bowl, uh-huh. which is Steady Eddie, but maybe the roasted vegetables that are in the Power Bowl might change based upon the season.
Got it. Yep.
So, you know, that's kind of like the salad. That's mm-hmm. a Steady Eddie, but the specific cut up vegetables or leafy greens that are in the salad, that is going to be dependent upon the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, we keep it pretty simple. We just say seasonal veggies.
Yeah.
Seasonal salad.
Yeah.
And I think our customers, they like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're not going to know, oh, it's got the carrots this week. I mean, in general, you're going to know you're going to get your carrots mm-hmm. in the spring and the fall.
Yeah.
You're going to get your tomatoes in July, August, mm-hmm. September. Mm-hmm. But you're probably not going to see tomatoes on your salad in December.
Right.
So, we do keep that seasonal menu in that regard.
Yeah. What are some of the other menu items, just so listeners can kind of get an idea of what you guys have?
Sure. So we have like pot roast, and we have a chicken salad and a black bean burger and loaded mac and cheese, a really good coleslaw, a really good roasted side vegetables. So like it'll have carrots, butternut, sweet potato, maybe a little bit of potato.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little turnip.
I mean, we might get crazy. Yeah. We're going to throw a turnip in there.
Yeah, you never know.
A butternut soup.
So we make this, basically it tastes like liquid pumpkin pie.
Oh, wow.
Of course, the chili is standard in the winter, and then we'll switch to more of a veggie soup or like a gazpacho.
Oh, yeah.
In the summer.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday mornings we do breakfast because again I can slide a bunch of vegetables in them scrambled eggs.
Right.
And, you know, you got to have a treat every now and then. So having a pancake is not the worst thing in the world.
Sure.
But we get a chance to like sneak in our maple syrup that harvest from our trees. You know, so
our apple butter.
Yeah.
I know. I bought some of that, you guys, at the market. It is so good. So, so good. My grandparents grew up on a farm. And so that's what it makes me think of whenever I have apple butter.
Nice.
Yeah.
We love the non-sprayed, kind of gnarly looking, really tart apples. Uh-huh. Like they're smaller, and sometimes you got to do a little surgery around the bad spots. But when you slow cook those, we do a little bit of honey and pumpkin spice, and that flavor, the tartness, really comes out.
Yeah. You don't need to add sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know all the natural sugar that's in it.
Yeah.
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 And so we throw that in our baked goods. We haven't mentioned our baked goods.
Yeah.
But before I do, I wanted to mention majority of our items are gluten-free.
Okay.
We're not like gluten-free approved or like certified, but it just naturally we're not throwing gluten into our soups, mm-hmm. but a lot of restaurants do just as a thickener, but mm-hmm. we just don't do that. We find other ways. We might use butternut as a thickener, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we also do baked goods and we do gluten-free baked goods. We do regular baked goods. We have all the things.
Yeah.
We want to make sure everybody has their desserts too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should be able to come in, have a steak and kale salad and eat a chocolate chip cookie. Like, that should be your decision.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yes.
It's like, that's called balance. In life. All right.
Your chocolate chip cookie just might be a little better than the other chocolate chip cookies that you can get, right, that are better for you.
We think so.
Yeah. What's been kind of some of the greatest surprise that you found just kind of getting here to this point in your brick and mortar, you're sustaining yourselves, you guys have this customer base. I mean, what's kind of been surprising about it maybe?
Well, I was, when I first started doing the cafe stuff and I took all the certification stuff with the health department.
Yeah.
You know, I was worried. I'm like, you know, is this, you know, going to be hard, and the health department wants to shut us down. That's always what we're told.
Yeah.
But you know, up in Warren County, everything has been really nice. Like, they work with us. They told, when I took the training classroom, you know, the lady was joking with me right away, and you know, we were back and forth the whole time, but you know what, she made the class enjoyable, and mm-hmm. I actually learned the stuff. And when they come in to do the inspections, mm-hmm. they're smiling, they want to help, they don't want to shut us down, they want us to be in business.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of theme has what we're seeing from the customers too. Like, Megan and I are prepared to climb the hard hill. Like, mm-hmm. we don't quit. We'll mm-hmm. we'll get one customer, you know, new customer a month. It doesn't matter. We'll keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, people have been telling their friends about us and bringing them in, and the neighbors yeah. come in, and even like the ones you wouldn't think come in and like our stuff, like the mechanic down the road who's, you know, got a chew in,
right?
But he comes in and loves the burgers because they taste good, and he don't care about all the stuff we're doing, but he's happy to support us.
Yeah,
you know, so just that like community feel that we had for many years down in the East End, we've gotten it so quickly here in Morrow, and everyone seems to be opening us with open arms. So.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that. What about you? What do you think has been pretty surprising for you?
Yeah, I would add to that, yeah, the people that are like, I want to help, or how can I help, or how can I share this food, or how can, you know, we've had a couple workers that have come in and said, you know, can I help in the cafe, or can I make the baked goods for you? And we're like, yes, please, because yeah. we need help.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, at some point, it can't just be you two that are doing it. So,
yeah.
you know, that's a good thing that you have people that are obviously proud to stand with you and serve with you and want to continue to emulate what you're doing and make other people see it. Which, I mean, that's a huge gift. That's a win in and of itself, right?
It is.
Yeah. yeah. They found us, and then they're like, we like this so much. We got to help you more.
Yeah.
One of our customers, Billy, she is a homesteader, and she wants to be doing like what we're doing. She's just starting.
Yeah.
You know, but she grew up in the country and grew up with a garden. So like Billy will, for example, during the height of green bean season, we can deliver her crates and bushels of green beans, and she will process them for us.
Okay, yeah.
And she takes half and we take half.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with butternut. Like, we can, you know, have her process butternut overnight, and then now we just have bags of puree in our freezer.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps half, we keep half. And I feel that kind of thing, that's what we want more, is just that you know, this like village type atmosphere where, you know, I have this, you have this, let's work together and make sure both of our families are fed.
Yeah.
You know, and she has time and a kitchen and she wants to help. She just doesn't have a ton of butternut squash like I do.
Right.
You know, so how could I ever process all that? I can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we actually want more people like Billy in our life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, it's a very mutually beneficial relationship.
Totally.
But in such a, you know, caring and loving way instead of just a transaction, you know, which is how so many other businesses sustain themselves. But this is, you know, it is a transaction, but it's just built on something totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, with bartering and stuff, it's a lot like the, use the word ish.
Yeah.
It's like,
so a pinch, an ish.
Yeah. It's like, it's close enough. I ain't going to keep track.
Right.
You know, like her husband had just shot a deer, and we can't use that for the cafe, but we can use it for ourselves personally.
Yeah.
So now we have deer meat, and all he wanted was some of that split firewood, and I had plenty of it.
Right.
So he came over, get a truckload of split firewood. Now we got deer in our
everybody's
freezer.
Happy.
I mean, come on, right?
Right. Yeah. I love it. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So now you guys have been in business for how long? How long have you been in business in Morrow?
About 2 years now, I guess.
Yeah. 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2018.
So you're about to go on your third year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We started the cafe January of 2021.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Literally, like, no one could come in.
Right.
Legally, we're not allowed to come in. We're like, what are we doing?
Yeah. But what a beautiful thing that you can see. I mean, it was obviously a need. You found a great niche in an area that has served you well and is going to continue to serve you well. And as we continue to move through this pandemic and everybody figures out how to navigate it and all the things, it sounds like things are just going to continue to flourish for you. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Good. Well, I always end every podcast with this final five questions for all my guests. So there's no right or wrong answers, but I'm going to dive into those so that we can... wrap up our time. And when we do, we'll end with you guys giving all of your information of how people find you and your social media or website, anything you want to put out there so people can come test all your yummy food. Mm. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. So, and this will be for individuals. So you guys will both answer. What are you most proud of personally?
Well, I'm proud that I was miserable in my job and I learned a new skill and I have a new life.
Yes.
That's the thing I'm most proud of is that I had a vision and I worked really hard and now it's a reality. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel really good.
It should. Think of how many people just don't, you know, and they stay where they're unhappy. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that want to do that and also don't have the fortitude and the gumption and just the willpower to figure it out and to keep pursuing it. So I definitely think it's something you should be proud of.
Thank you.
What about you, Megan?
I'd say I'm really proud of our partnership, both in marriage, our business, because it wasn't always that way. You know, we've been telling this story in our forward trajectory, but I'd say I'm also proud a lot of resilience that we both have together. I always say it, we are better when we're together and we're firing at all cylinders.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I'm just proud that we've really stuck together and we're able to do this together.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of times, too, people don't account for it's not always been roses and sunshine, right?
Correct.
I mean, there's times where I'm sure it was really difficult. And, you know, when you're trying to make sure that you both are on the same path and you're both agreeing with where you see this vision going and, you know, balancing work and life and then also that... you know, your work is also your personal time at times because you're growing a business and that doesn't just happen just 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I think that too. And there's a lot of people who don't get that ability or couldn't work with their spouse in this closeness and ability. And so what a beautiful thing. Definitely something to be proud of.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. All right. What are you hopeful about right now? What is something that when you think about that just gives you hope in where we are?
Well, there seems to be more people that are coming in and speaking some of these things that, like I said, I started researching over 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think I was one of the early adapters, and I think we're on the point of the curve that it's starting to maybe just be just pre-exponential.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, it's on the tip of everybody's tongue, and people are talking about holistic medicine and whole foods and fresh foods and nutrient density and BRICS reports and things like that.
Taking care of ourselves in a whole different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost one of the things the pandemic, I think, was good. And a lot of people got to experience the life that I always live, especially in the winter. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not much I do in the winter. I sit around in sweatpants and read books. Mm-hmm. But, and I call people, though. And when I do meet them, I have sincere, long dinners and we catch up. You know,
intention.
Yeah, there's a lot more intentionality. And it just, this thing forced people to slow down and reassess. And there's a lot of people that switched out of their careers and did whole new things because they were either had to or they said, this is an opportunity for me.
Yes.
You know, so I'm hopeful that this could all bring about a lot of change that, and Megan and I will be ready with open arms when people comes and asks us questions like, you know, and that's what we want to be. We want to be a resource for people who want to have a better life, a different life, a healthier life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. What about you?
I can't say it any better than that. Mm-hmm. I'm also hopeful for that. I'm hopeful for, our future. I see it. I see it in the community. If we can do it in Morrow, if we can do it in the East End, we can do it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And what a gift you can give others too, like what you're saying about, it's that whole, I don't know, it's something I always look at in my career path, which is, you know, lifting people as they climb too, you know, as they continue to move forward and help them achieve the next thing that they're looking for. So those people who might approach you like the Billies and are saying, this is what I want to do. You guys have a whole wealth of knowledge that you can help partner people with and arm them so that they can do something different.
Yeah. I look at the climb in life that way. It's like, there are some people who just race to the top. Now you're on a pinnacle all by yourself and you left everybody behind.
Exactly.
Well, yes. As you climb up, if you got a hand behind you pulling people up with you.
Yes.
You know, and that's what real leaders do, is they bring people along with them because you don't want to be alone.
Yes.
You know, you don't go through life by yourself.
And, I wholeheartedly believe that.
So we know we're leaders and we know we are early adapters, but we try to make this stuff approachable and seem doable.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that comes out and works with me on the farm knows pretty quick. I mean, you know, I'm just a good old boy. Mm-hmm. I'm not super smart or super hard worker. I'm diligent.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we can all do this, and we do want more people to live this life with us.
Yeah.
You know, and have their own homesteads, and that way, you know, it's not always on us to have all the food. We actually can, like,
we want more partnerships, people. Yeah. We want some trading going on.
We just dream of a world like that. So, and we're hopeful because we see the changes happening.
Yeah.
So
that's great. What is one piece of advice you need to hear right now? If somebody was going to tell you something you feel you need to hear, what would it be?
Yeah, that question. So I think the thing that I frequently need to hear as a business owner of two businesses, is just to slow down and take some time for myself.
Yeah.
You know, all these things and visions and dreams I have in the future that I see so clearly, they'll come and I'll just continue with my diligence. I'm not going to move this world today, you know, so, I've gotten a lot better about slowing down, and other people have told me, hey man, chill out, let's go on the river today, or let's go for a hike, or you know, you can get in that garden later, you know, and spending time with this one where we're not, you know, in the garden.
Yeah.
Like, we just spent a week on the beach and that was freaking awesome.
Yes.
And we got
good for you.
Pampered in a resort.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah,
you need that. You need that sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. It helps us recalibrate.
Yeah. And then some of the ideas come to you differently, you know, instead of when you're just in it all the time, you know, that's where some of the other things can come because your headspace is more open.
Oh my gosh. Our talks we have when we're just in ultimate chill zone by the pool. And then the things we figure out. Yes.
Yeah.
The things we figure out are like on the ride home. Like, we've had this time, we're chill. So this, just in the last couple of days, literally since I've been back, I have moved the earth. And because I had this time, I got the energy now. And I'm thinking clearly. I'm not in the minutia.
Right.
So that's
good.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. It's one of the things that I just personally, you know, when I hear people who are like, oh, I haven't taken my vacation time, or I haven't whatever, I'm like, gosh, it's such a detriment. You're doing a disservice to yourself. You know, like, you weren't meant to always be on all the time. You have to take that time.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I'm glad you guys did that. All right. What piece of advice do you think you need to hear, Megan?
I typically need to hear kind of slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think wait for God's timing. A lot of times we do get advice from others, and it's just all about like discernment and waiting for God's timing. So I the advice to myself is just kind of take it all in, but kind of sit on it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
And know that it's going to come to you at the right time and in His
time. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
It's been on my heart for a little bit.
Yeah. All right. What do you think is the greatest lesson that's taken you the longest to learn?
Well, I think me specifically, working with people, specifically the people that work for us on the farm. I've worked with some folks who, typically when you're doing this kind of work, it's seasonal. I'm not getting, you know, let's just say future P&Gers.
Right.
Getting folks that maybe have a bit of a checkered past. And so my approach with that kind of person over time has changed.
Sure.
My father was, he's a Baptist preacher. And, you know, we grew up in a very strict household and there wasn't any talking back. Mm-hmm. You know, just this is the way. There is no questions.
Right.
So I've learned over time to be kind of less of a teller mm-hmm. and more of a teacher and be more considerate and compassionate with these people who come into our lives. And it's been hard, but I think it's made me into a much better business owner mm-hmm. and teacher. And I much more enjoy the job now, actually, because and people are happier, I think, to work for us. You know, because that always didn't end the best, you know, when you just like take in homeless people and have them let them in your house. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
So I think each person that comes into our life teaches me a lesson. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of teaching that I do, but those people all teach me something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm getting better in that process. Mm-hmm. So
that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. I like that. All right, Megan, what about you?
I'd say big lesson is that I'm not going to be able to please everyone.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. But just listening to our path, following our path, mm-hmm. and knowing that our path is right. Mm-hmm. And so we will please a lot of people, mm-hmm. but it's just not going to be everyone.
Sure.
And that's, you know, a lot with business and even personal life. Mm-hmm. And so it is a hard lesson to learn, though, or to keep teaching myself that lesson over and over.
Yeah, because you don't want it to be at the sacrifice of your own personal happiness.
Yeah.
Which I think is what happens when you do have a servant heart at times. I'm one as well. I've always shared this with my team is that, you know, I look at myself as a servant leader. I get up every day to come serve all of them, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, no matter if it's that or if you're out to try to make sure that everybody's happy or pleased with what you're doing, you know, there is beauty in that, but you also don't want to sacrifice yourself in the process, which is usually what us people pleasers end up doing at times, right?
Yeah,
sacrifice a lot. Correct. Where you give more of yourself and stretch yourself too thin, or there's a lot of things that happen with that.
Yes.
She's like, that's ringing a bell. Okay. All right. Your last one is, how do you hope to be remembered? What do you want people to think of when they think of you?
We want to be remembered for doing something that was hard, but was for the better of us all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're fighting an uphill battle. That's why so many people reach out to help us, because they know we're doing something big. Mm-hmm. So we would like to be, you know, hopefully someday once we figure this thing out and we got food figured out tomorrow and, you know, people are growing the food and sharing and the kids in the school are eating the food.
Yeah.
And we would just like to be known as one of the folks who were working diligently at the beginning before it really took off.
Yeah. For the right reasons.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and again, it gets back to we want to be remembered for being givers mm-hmm. and servants to the community. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Everything he said. Yes.
Yeah. He says it best.
Well, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to sit down and talk to me. And I'm excited to see and hear about the people who learn more about you guys and get the opportunity to come check you out, check out Fresh tomorrow. So why don't you tell people where to find you on social media or, you know, kind of a little bit about where you're located and a little bit of just about your hours so people know, you know, what that looks like.
Sure thing. So the best way to communicate is through Facebook, uh-huh. our Fresh Tomorrow handle. And then we also do a weekly email. So if you want to be a part of that, you can send a email to fresh45152@gmail.com. But our cafe is located at 201 Miranda Street. That's in Morrow, Ohio, 45152. And right now we're open Thursdays, 4 to 7, Friday, noon to 7, and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. And we may adjust those from time to time, but for the most part, that'll be our hours.
Yeah.
Sometime around the weekend, 15 to 20 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And we're going to pick the hours that are best for our customers. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yep. And it's really, it's right off the bike trail.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a happening place. If you're, you know, tired of the hustle and bustle of Loveland and you want to come up a little more in the country,
yeah,
come on up tomorrow. And there's a lot to do. There's a the river and the bike trail right there. You got Fort Ancient if you want to do some hiking.
Uh-huh.
It's just a really gorgeous area. So go on, come up and maybe spend an afternoon and let us feed you.
Yeah, love it. Well, thank you guys, and thanks for listening to another episode. And we'll be with you next time with another Everyday Badass guest. All right, guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Everyday Badass. And whatever platform you are listening to this podcast on, I would greatly appreciate if you can download, share, like, write a review, and just continue to support us and listen to these podcasts moving forward. Thanks so much.